Looks like you've been studying Bhagavad Gita?
Yes.
Yeah? Certain verses. Have you learned to recite any Bhagavad Gita verses yet? Huh? Do you know any? Oops. One. One? Can you think of one verse? Yes. Okay, and the meaning?
That Krishna, you can serve a flower, water, or
leaf?
Leaves.
Or?
Krishna.
A fruit.
Krishna.
Patram, pushpam, palam, fruit. Toyam. So do you do that? This is a practical application question. Okay. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Okay. Anyone else know a verse from Bhagavad Gita? You front here? No? I heard that you learned some things about... Oh, he knows. Do you learn some things about karma?
Yeah. Basically it's like a law of nature in the material world that whenever you do something good, you get something good back, and when you do something bad, you get something bad back.
Okay.
And it can go it can come from your past life.
And what happens? It comes where?
It can come from your past lives.
I'm going to look up a very nice verse. So, in addition to Bhagavad Gita, there's another literature that we read regularly, along with Bhagavad Gita, and that's Srimad Bhagavatam. Have you heard that? Okay, Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is really nice. Let's see, how do we help? There's a section in Srimad Bhagavatam that talks about Prahlad Maharaj and Lord Nrsingadev and Hiranyakashipu. Do you know about that? Yes? A little bit? Tell me what you know about Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad Maharaj, yeah. Okay. Yes, go ahead.
He was spiritually very strong.
Spiritually very strong. Good.
And I think he was the son of Hiranyakashipu.
Yeah, he was the son of Hiranyakashipu. And it was Hiranyakashipu a good guy or a bad guy?
Bad guy.
Really bad guy. And Prahlad? He was a good guy. And his father, Hiranyakashipu, was like, you know, a terrorist. Really, you know, a universal, not just, you know, some place over there in the Middle East. He was terrorizing the whole universe. Very powerful, yeah.
So, like, I kind of, you know, he always, like, thought of Krishna and prayed
for him.
So,
exactly.
Like, his father, like, tried to kill him, I think.
Yeah. That's right. That's
and
right.
And then Krishna saved him.
That's right.
Yeah. And if you pray to him, it will give you spiritual strength.
Yeah. And Krishna, when Krishna appeared to save him, what was the form that Krishna appeared in? What was the form? Yes. Yeah, I'm asking the children here. Children, come. You forgot. Go ahead. Okay, well, what did that form look like?
Half man, half lion.
Half man, half lion. That's pretty unusual, isn't it? Half man, half lion. Why did he appear in a half man, half lion form?
Because Hiranyakashipu asked for a boon that he's like he can't be killed by any beast, any weapon, or any man.
Yeah.
So
he appeared was neither a beast nor a man.
And he came out of his
a pillar.
Yeah, a pillar. And then he was outside in between the door of his castle.
Well, just outside. Not there's a veranda. You know what a veranda is? There's inside. You're in the house, and then you can go outside the house, and then you can go to a place that's neither inside the house nor outside the house. It's like a little veranda, not exactly like a porch, but something like that. So that's where
he killed him.
Yeah. Just like anything else?
He was an avatar?
Yes, he was. And there's categories of avatars. He's a Leela avatar. Leela avatars, he performed wonderful Leelas or pastimes. A form of the Lord that performs wonderful pastimes is called a Leela avatar. And Nrisimha is one of them. Yes.
Didn't
Krishna
toy with his fingernails because
they didn't get anything
to do?
Yeah, with his claws. Good. Now, where did you learn all these things? In class here? Okay. Well, when that very dangerous situation happened that his Prahlad's father was trying to kill him. Prahlad was just very young. He was just 6 years old. Anybody here 6 years old? You're older than six. How old are you?
Five.
Okay. The rest of you are older. Okay. 6 years old. And his father was trying to kill him, and he couldn't kill him, and couldn't kill him, and couldn't kill him. But before that, the reason that he wanted to kill him, that's not a nice thing. Parents fathers wanting to kill his son. The reason was, what was the reason?
He wasn't worshiping his father.
Yeah, but specifically, yeah.
His father didn't like him worshiping
Krishna. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Because in his previous life, when Hiranyakashipu had a brother, a younger brother, and his younger brother was named Hiranyaksha. And Hiranyaksha was very busy taking gold from wherever he could find it and accumulating gold to make a golden residence for his brother, his older brother. And he took so much gold from different parts of the planet that the earth lost its balance and fell out of orbit. and fell into the Garbhodak ocean. So the Supreme Lord, Krishna, he took another form, Varaha. Yes? Boar, exactly. And he went plunging into the Garbhodak ocean and rescued the earth planet. And when he was there rescuing the earth planet, Hiranyakashipu's brother challenged him and had a big battle. And guess who won? Lord Varaha won. And so the older brother, Hiranyakashipu, he was performing the funeral or overseeing the funeral. And he was speaking words to pacify their mother, whose name was Diti. Diti. There's Aditi. She was the mother of the many demigods. And there was and Diti, two sisters, amongst a number of other sisters. Anyways, the Daityas, the family of those opposed to Lord Vishnu, Daityas. So he spoke transcendental knowledge. It's very interesting. He was a learned fellow, Hiranyakashipu. But he was also like, you know, pretty dumb in another sense, or atheistic in another sense, because he was totally against Lord Vishnu. He took a vow, this Lord Vishnu who has killed my brother, I will take revenge and I will destroy him. That was his mentality. I'm going to kill Vishnu. And when Prahlad began worshipping Vishnu, he's the enemy and you're worshipping the enemy, so you're the enemy too. I'll kill you. But he couldn't kill him. But before that happened, Prahlad was attending school, like most young boys, they attend school. Just at 6 years old, he was just like beginning school. But when the school teachers left the classroom, what happens in school when kids leave the classroom? When the teacher leaves the classroom, what happens? Party time! Right? Kids want to play. So the kids wanted to play, but Prahlad said, no, no, no. Let's worship Vishnu. And there's a nice verse, that's why I opened my little tablet here, to read to you one verse where it's an often quoted verse, very often quoted verse in Srimad Bhagavatam, where Prahlad is speaking to the assembly of his classmates and saying, now, not later, now we should worship Vishnu. And here's the verse. Komara acharya pragyo dharman bhagavatani ha durlabham manusham janma tad api adravam artadam. Now I don't know Sanskrit. I'm not a Sanskrit scholar. But I've heard this verse so many times I know the meaning of the words. So, Kumara, what does that mean? Maybe you've heard, you know, Nanda Kumara, the son of Nanda Maharaj, right? Nanda Kumara, that's the name of Krishna. He's the Kumara. So it refers to an age. And and the youth, like when someone's very, very young, that's Bala. Maybe you've seen deities of Bal Gopal. Krishna's crawling and he's holding a laddu in his hand and looking at you. Yeah? Bal Gopal deity. So that's before, up to the age of 5. Bala. And then after the age of 5 is Kumara. That's when boys and girls go to school. So he's saying here, Kumara, from that, just as soon as you start your education. Real education means Bhagavat Dharma to understand the principles of love and service and attention, giving one's attention to Bhagavan, to the Supreme Lord. Komara Acharet Pragyo. Pragya means intelligence. There's a phrase in Bhagavad Gita, Pragya, or one of Ramanujacharya's associates was Purna Pragya, filled with knowledge. Purna, complete knowledge. So, Pragya. Komara Acharet Pragyo. When you're five, that means this is, you know, long time ago, not just today. You go to school when you turn five. So when you go to school to learn, to sharpen your intelligence, the sharpened intelligence is Bhagavad Dharma, learning how to associate with Krishna, with Bhagavan. Just like in Bhagavad Gita, Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, Krishna says. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha. Dharman Bhagavatan Iha. Durlabham Manusha Janma. Durlabha means very difficult. Very rare out of all the different species of life. Look around next time you're going for a walk and see all the different species of life. Trees and grass and birds and squirrels and so many species of life other than human, just like, you know, where we are, where we're moving around. Especially when you go into a forest instead of like where it's just cement and highways and stuff. So many species of life, insects and bugs and trees and animals. My home base is New York. And there was an article in the New York Times about some kind of nearly extinct species of coyote that's started to live in Central Park. Central Park is like your big park here. So people go, oh, a coyote in the park. So the parks department is trying to encourage people. They're harmless. Just, you know, don't go chasing after them and they'll leave you alone. So like, how to live with the coyote in Central Park. Interesting. There's so many species of life. And amongst the so many species of life, this human form is very rare. So Prahlad is saying, if you get the human form of life, value it. When you get $1 million, not so many people get $1 million, and if you get $1 million, it's rare. And use it carefully. So use this, his appeal is that you should use your human form of life very carefully. And then the last part is tad api adhruvam arthadam. Although the body itself, the form of human form of body is temporary. It's here for a while. When you're young, it seems like it's going to last for a long while, maybe forever, but it doesn't. It's finished after some time. So when you have it, this valuable thing, this $1 million thing, or more than $1 million thing, there's people that have, anyway, it's very special. So he's appealing, rather than when the teachers go out of the classroom, it's party time or time to play. Let's spend time talking about Krishna and thinking of Krishna and making offerings to Krishna and remembering Krishna and having Krishna kirtan, just like was going on here when we first came in. Because that's the real function of human life. There's other functions that we can do. According to what Bhagavad Gita teaches, there's four propensities that anything that's alive, not only humans, animals, birds, fish, eat. So if we eat nicely, sitting on at a table and with knife and fork and whatever people use these days. I visit China, they like chopsticks better than knife and fork. So whether the chopsticks or knife and fork, or even your hand, it's just the activity of eating, the animals they're also eating, and sleeping. You may sleep on a bed, they may sleep on the floor. But sleeping, the activity is the same. Defending, someone attacks and you grrr, and show your teeth if you're a dog or and whatever you know the species does to protect themselves. Humans do the same. Protect and reproduce. Have children and produce more of that species. The animals are doing and the humans are doing. So there's something special that's distinct from what the animals and the other lower forms of life do that the human life is meant for. And that human life is meant for self-realization. Now go back to that verse that you had memorized. Patram pushpam palam toyam yome bhaktya prayachati. Those same thing, that's take the things that you do, eating an apple. The message that Krishna is speaking in Bhagavad Gita, the message of devotion that Prahlad is speaking to his friends, is you do that first by making an offering of that fruit to Krishna. Or something very simple. A leaf, a flower, water. Make that as an offering to Krishna. And in that way, this higher activity of human life is being, it begins. So is the message I'm speaking clear? People like to sing. So take that tendency of liking to sing and sing songs in relation to Krishna. Just this past January, well, just go back a little bit. During Christmas time, while probably most of you were here in St. Louis, I was in Vrindavan, the land of Krishna, where Krishna appeared. And I took a group of high school kids and college kids to go visit the places of Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan. It was really nice. I mean, I had a great time, and I think they did too. And one of the favorite activities of the day was in the evening after, like, going all over the place in Vrindavan, they sat together and had kirtan. So, you know, like 150 young people having kirtan together at night in Vrindavan. And then this really wonderful kirtan singer, his name is Badahari, he joined them. And he's such a lovable person. And his singing is similar. So their hearts melted. It was just a wonderful experience. It was so cold. I had 4 layers of clothing on, and it was still cold. A jacket and a sweatshirt. And, you know, something like this underneath that, and then something underneath that, and I was still cold. It was really cold. But everywhere we went, we would hear people singing you know, songs to Srimati Radharani. It's really nice. You know, just going through villages and people were singing. Or where they were doing their chores, they were singing songs about Radha and Krishna. And then when that was over, we went to South India, where it wasn't cold at all. It was hot. And the person that picked us up at Madurai, to go to the first place we went to, he said, in Madurai there's three temperatures, hot, hotter, and hottest. Because we had been where it was really cold, and now it was hot. It was January, so it wasn't hotter and hottest, but it was hot. And then we went to many temples in the course of our travel. And, you know, mantras or verses glorifying the Supreme Lord, and we sat with a devotee who was from South India who spoke Tamil. To any of you, boys or girls, do you speak Tamil? No? Okay. Well, because we were in the state of Tamil Nadu, there were many songs by Alvars. They're saintly people from the past, long, long ago. And they had composed beautiful songs glorifying some of the deities that we were visiting. So one devotee that was with me, he would sing these beautiful songs in Tamil language. And then I was, you know, very slowly reading the English translation. Very, very beautiful. Very, very beautiful. So some people like singing. So sing something beautiful about Krishna or the Supreme Lord. Some people like artist work. Some people like construction. Man, these temples were fantastic. I mean, I don't know how long it took them to build and how many mountains they had to dismantle in order to build these huge temples. But the whole life, my impression was, this was a culture where the people that were growing the agricultural crops, they brought their first crop to the deity. They had storage places, so the deity wasn't without. The deity had, so their life was give to the deity. And then the kings, they arranged for villages and where the land could be cultivated for the service of the deity. The deity would have grain stored, they would have treasure and taxes, so the temple could be maintained. And so the brahmanas, you know, the intellectuals and the priests, they had their service, the kings had their service, the agriculturalists had their service, the workers who work with their hands, they had their service, and Krishna was at the center. So modern life isn't so much like that anymore. But it can be, just if we understand the principle and apply the principle in our life. Some people like drama. So have you been engaged in some drama performance yet? Yeah? What was the drama?
It has to do with like some play in Christmas time. I don't know.
You don't remember? Do you remember?
I don't remember the title, but it was about, I forgot who it was. I think, okay. So he traveled to a brahmana that like spent his life devoting himself to Krishna.
Uh-huh.
And the brahmana asked him to like ask, and he was going to go to Krishna. So the brahmana asked him if, like, how many.
Yeah, the brahman and the cobbler.
Yeah.
Narada was going to see Narayana.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, a form of Krishna, Narayana. And on his way, he met a brahmana, he met a cobbler. That's the story? You had that drama? Okay. So like that. Everybody likes something. we have our different nature, some like this, some like that. According to the Bhagavad Gita's message and what I'm sharing with you now and what the whole purpose of gathering together like this is to learn how that which is suited to my nature, you do that. Because it's suited to your nature, you're going to do it anyway, and learn how to do that in such a way it's offered to Krishna with love. Like the fruit and flower and leaf and water verse that you recited. Very, very practical. It can be simple. It can be elaborate. It can be complicated. It can be whatever it is. And if it's offered with love and devotion, Krishna smiles. He accepts. The same thing that, this is a life that's with God at the center. And what I understand what's happening here with this gathering is to provide you with a basic understanding of how you can do that in the course of your life as children, going to school, growing up. Once those principles become part of your life, at every stage of life, you can apply those principles. What you do and how you do what you do will change as you grow, but the principles will remain. Let me read a little bit what Prabhupada writes in this purport. So I'll recite the verse again. Komara acharet pragyo dharman bhagavataniha durlabham manusham, manu is the human form of life, durlabham manusham janma, taking birth in the human form of life is very rare. Tad api, although it's adravam artadam, although it's temporary, it can be used for the highest purpose. So, here's the translation. One who is sufficiently intelligent, that's you guys, one who is sufficiently intelligent should use the human form of body from the very beginning of life, in other words, from the tender age of childhood, to practice the activities of devotional service. The human body is most rarely achieved. Although temporary, like other bodies, it is meaningful because in human life one can perform devotional service. Even a slight amount of sincere devotional service can give one complete perfection. So let me read a little bit what Prabhupada writes. He liked this verse. He quoted it hundreds and hundreds of times. So that's why I'm quoting it. The whole purpose, this is purport, the whole purpose of Vedic civilization and of reading the Vedas is to attain the perfect stage of devotional service in the human form of life. According, gradually throughout the entire world, human society is losing interest in the perfection of life. Indeed, men are living like cats and dogs, spoiling the duration of the human lives by actually preparing to transmigrate again to the degraded species amongst the 8,400,000 species of life. Supposing, at the end of the program, we said, we have a really nice bit of news. Everyone that's come, we're going to give you $1,000,000. Wow, really? Yeah, $1,000,000. So now, everybody goes upstairs and starts thinking, wow, this is really $1,000,000. What am I going to do with this $1,000,000? And depending upon the consciousness that you have, you can use it for a good purpose, or you can use it for a harmful purpose. I don't know if you know this, statistics show the people that win these lotteries and those things, those prizes, they get like millions of dollars. Generally, they spoil their lives because they don't know what to do with all of that. Then all the people that were friends are no longer their friends. They just want some of their money, and then they, because they don't know how to handle it, they use it in indulgences and frivolous things. And they become very depressed people. The statistics show that. So don't win the lottery. Don't even participate in it because it's gambling. But it's not, the human form of life is far more than $1 million. Everyone that's participating in this program, you have a human form of life, and it's such a valuable thing. And if a valuable thing isn't properly used, it can be used in a damaging way, down to the lower species of life. Because a life of facility is also a life of responsibility. You get something very valuable, use it carefully. That's the message. In all the schools, colleges and universities and at home, all children and youths should be taught to hear about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In other words, they should be taught to hear the instructions of Bhagavad Gita, to put them into practice in their lives and thus become strong in devotional service, free from fear of being degraded to animal life. Then he quotes a verse, one need only chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Everyone engaged in the practice of chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra will become cleansed from the core of his heart and be saved from the cycle of birth and death. So you learned something about karma. Who was sharing something about karma? You were. What was it? Action, reaction. So what's the, extend that over time, and what does that result in? Yes, reincarnation, another birth. And depending upon the good kind of karma, you get a good next birth. Depending upon the amount of bad karma, you know, activities in ignorance without really understanding life's higher purpose, unfortunate reaction. But we're generating our next life by how we live this life. And especially in the human form of life, the opportunity of achieving the fullness of consciousness that's possible. That's the purpose. And it's rare to achieve that which can give you that highest purpose. So I'm really happy to spend, I'm a busy person, and your parents are busy people too. I'm happy to spend time with all of you and just encourage you in continuing with this learning, this very important element or piece of life, how to utilize human form, how to use human energy, not only to achieve a polished form of the same things that the lower life forms are doing, but that unique thing. Self-realization, understanding our relation with the Supreme. Very special. So any thoughts any of you want to share? Comments? Are you all right? Okay, good. Any questions from things that you've read or heard or studied? Yeah?
How do animals practice? Are humans the only race or species that can practice devotion?
Yes. Well, let me say this. It's a qualified yes. If you are carrying devotion, and you, let's say, you can feed prasadam to the birds. Like some people go to parks and they give bread or whatever to something. So if you take that bread or grains or something and you offer to Krishna, and then you feed that to the animals, the birds or whatever, the squirrels or something, then they're being engaged in devotional service because they're taking Krishna prasadam. There's a really nice example of this. And not only they could be engaged in devotional service, but it takes the human form of life to do that, they can become very elevated. One other, do you know who is Lord Chaitanya? You've heard about Lord Chaitanya? Good, good, okay, Lord Chaitanya. So devotees of Lord Chaitanya would go to visit him every year in Jagannath Puri when it was time for Rath Yatra. You know, Lord Jagannath would come out of the temple, they'd place him on a cart, and then three carts, because there's Baladev and Subhadra, and draw the cart with chanting. It's a big festival. Huge festival. So devotees would come to join Lord Chaitanya every year from the northern, north of Puri, where Lord Chaitanya had appeared in Bengal. So when they were traveling, there was one, like a village elder, a senior, very capable, very caring type of person. And he took care of everybody's everything. He took care of their meals. He took care of the river crossings. He took care of taxes when dealing with other governments and the residential places. He was like really good. He took care of everybody. So one time when they were traveling, doesn't so much happen here in America, but you see it sometimes in India, there was a stray dog, a street dog, that didn't have a home, didn't have a master. So as the devotees were traveling, the dog joined the group. So Shivananda Sen, he made an arrangement that the dog would receive his meal every day, along with everybody else, because he was just a very caring person. And then one evening, he couldn't find the dog. He wanted to feed the dog. The dog couldn't be found. So he sent 10 men to go look for this stray dog so he would get his food. But they couldn't find him. So Shivananda Sen was in big anxiety because he was affectionate towards all living entities, including dogs. And finally, when they got to Puri to go see Lord Chaitanya, he saw something very amazing. He saw Lord Chaitanya had a coconut and had taken the soft part inside the shell of the coconut pulp, you know, the white soft thing, and he was holding it in his hand, and the dog was sitting in front of it, same dog, was sitting in front of him, and he would tell him, chant! And the dog went, Krishna! And Lord Chaitanya threw some coconut pulp out. And when this happened 2 or 3 times, he'd chant, Krishna. Shivananda Sen fell before the dog, paying obeisances, that he was receiving, just seeing how fortunate he was receiving from the hand of Lord Chaitanya, coconut pulp, and chanting, a dog. So your question was, can animals engage in? With special mercy, like special mercy, it was possible. And then some days later, the dog was not to be found, and everyone understood the dog had gone to Vaikuntha because he engaged in devotional service because of the mercy of, starting with the mercy of Shivananda Sen and then Lord Chaitanya. So that's pretty special, exceptional. But like, there's plants over on the other side of the room. And when we have kirtan, those living entities that are within the plants, and maybe there's some little insects crawling around or something, there's spirit souls within those little insect bodies too. And just by us chanting, they're hearing the chanting. And they're receiving spiritual benefit. And that way, just by hearing or taking prasadam, they're engaging in devotional service. So the human form of life can engage other forms of life in service to Krishna, but it takes someone who's carrying devotion for Krishna to do that. Good question. Anything else? Yeah. I thought you'd have a question.
So if you die in there's three modes of material nature.
Correct.
And so if you die in the mode of passion, do you stay human?
Well, you stay not necessarily human, but in this middle planetary region. Because there's different species, like maybe a lion. Or, something that, but there's passion. Passion, in the human form of life, means fruitive work. You know what that term means, fruitive work?
Yeah.
Like, I want, so I work really hard so I can get the thing I want. It could be, athletics, or it could be not just you learn how to play a musical instrument, but you want to be like the best. Like that. So, passion, fruitive activities. So it's not necessarily human, but in this middle planetary region. Yeah, then next.
If you die in the mode of ignorance,
yeah.
Does that mean you get degraded?
Yes, exactly. There's a verse in Bhagavad Gita that says those who are absorbed in the mode of goodness, they go up. Urdvam gacchanti sattvastha. Sattva means goodness. Madhye tishtanti rajasa. Madhye, in the middle. Raja, passion. And ho gacchanti tamasa. Those who leave their body, or those who are absorbed in... You found the verse? That same verse. Oh, look at that. Adho gacchanti tamasa. You go down. Lower life form. Yes?
Do you know if there's any... Are we the highest form of living?
And the highest form of?
Living.
Living beings?
It's like, if you're like a animal and then you... In your next life you become a human,
is that the top? Is that your question? Is there anything above that? Is that your question?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, there's something above that. And that's the higher planets. So let's do this. You've heard of the 14 planetary systems? You've heard of that?
No.
Okay, let's do this one. You've heard of heaven and hell. Everyone's heard of that. So that's a division of three. Upper and lower, and we're in the middle. Middle planetary region. But there's another way of categorizing. There's seven upper and seven lower. And we're in just above the lower, the seven lower. This muddy, this earth planet. There's lower seven, that's hellish. We're number eight. And in the human form of life in this number eight region, human form is best. But then there's another six up above us. They have names of those places. The one that's most commonly known when you say heaven, that's in Sanskrit, it's Swargaloka. But it goes Bhu, Bhuvar, and Swargaloka. Heaven, where the demigods reside and the associates of the demigods reside, those that go to the heavenly planets, they go to that place. But there's four more above that. Maharloka, Janaloka, Tapaloka, and No, Brahmaloka, Satyaloka. Lord, that's where Lord Brahma lives. So there are. I can describe what goes on there, if you like. But the short answer to your question is there are forms of life above the human form of life. Still with bodies. And bodies means you take birth and you die. But there's higher consciousness, higher qualities in that higher planetary system. But it's not Vaikuntha yet, because Vaikuntha is on the other side of, it's not created. There's no, you don't take birth there. There's one that receives a spiritual form. Is that all right?
Yeah.
I see your hand, but he hasn't asked something yet. So you go first, and then you're number three, okay? Prahlad? Go ahead.
So where is the spiritual?
Where is it? No. There's a distinction. There's a vast distinction between heaven and the spiritual world. So let me do this. I'm going to stand up. Here's the universe. And as I just described, there's the lower parts of the universe, seven lower planetary systems, and then there's seven upper planetary systems, and that's 14. And then the universe is covered by coverings or shells. And each shell is 10 times the previous shell. So what that means is, just hang on. Supposing that the diameter of the universe is like that of a pea, you know, in a vegetable pea. The shells are so big, it's like, you know, from here to Chicago. That's the size of the universe shell. If the inside is that of a pea, that was one of our devotees who's a PhD in mathematics. He just did the calculation. 10 times 10 times 10 times. That's what it is. So the shell of the universe is huge. And then there's so many universes. There's finite, but so many universes you can't count them all. And they're all floating, like footballs, they're floating on the Garbhodak Ocean. So that's now still the created region, is the Garbhodak, here, excuse me, not the Garbhodak Ocean, the causal ocean. And then on the other side of the causal ocean, there's the spiritual sky. And within the vastness of the spiritual sky, there's spiritual planets, or Vaikuntha planets. Far beyond the universe, and far beyond the shell of the universe, and the universes are floating in the causal ocean, on the other shore of that ocean is the spiritual sky, and within the spiritual sky there's spiritual planets. Would you like to see a picture of that?
No, I'm
not
seeing. So there are multiple universes?
Yeah. A Vedic picture? So many of them you can't count them all. And we're in just one of them. Wow. Mind-boggling, right? And then the universes implode. They're brought into being. Like anything material, it comes into being, it stays for some time, and it's withdrawn. That's called cosmic annihilation. Creation, maintenance for some time, cosmic annihilation, resting. For the equal duration of creation, there's a period of resting. Yeah.
Okay, so, like, there's the mode of goodness and passion.
Yes.
So, if you're, like, passionate about the mode of goodness, like you,
that's semantics. That's just word jugglery.
Okay.
If you're in the mode of goodness, you're not passionate about the mode of goodness. You're absorbed in the mode of goodness, and mode of goodness has some characteristics. And that is, you're compassionate. You are clean. You're truthful. You're regulated. You're interested in knowledge. Like that. There's symptoms or characteristics of the quality of goodness. Does that help you with that question? Passionate about the mode of goodness doesn't work. You had something now, Yash? You forgot. You had your hand up.
Yeah. I thought that the spiritual world was like past the last shell of the universe.
Well, it's beyond that. It's beyond that altogether. Because like I said, all those, you know, nice things, galaxies and constellations of stars and all that, that's within the shell. That's within the universe. And then there's layers. And then there's what's outside the layers. And the spiritual sky and the spiritual planets are outside those layers. Far beyond. You can't see it with a telescope. You can see galaxies with telescopes. But the spiritual world is on the other side of those big coverings. You can't see with a telescope. Okay. Go for it, Prahlad. Suppose we die. Why does Krishna give us another body?
No.
That's your question?
No, I have another question.
What do you say?
I have two questions.
Yes.
Oh, that's two questions. Well, okay. Don't ask your other question yet. You got to listen. Do you want to know the answer or you want to talk? Okay, so then you have to listen. Okay. There's laws of nature. When you throw a ball up in the air, it may go this high or higher or higher, but it can only go so high, and after it goes as high as you throw it, what happens? It comes down. It's a law of nature. So there's another law of nature that young people here have been studying, and that's the law of karma. The karma says, if you do something that's without consciousness of God or the Supreme, then the law of karma comes to you. What you do comes back to you as you act. So according to your actions, acts of kindness will come back in the form of kindness. Acts of hurtful activity comes back to you as hurtful activity. But even good activity, it binds you to another body because it's karma. So it's just a law of nature. Now Krishna doesn't want that. He wants you just do devotional service and no more karma. That's what he wants. Read Bhagavad Gita. That's what Krishna says. Some people say no. Well, it depends on the choices that you make in this life. Supposing, just like this question that came up here, supposing the mode of ignorance is the way that somebody lives their life, then they're choosing a life of ignorance. And other than human form of life is more appropriate for a life of ignorance, an animal or a bird or an insect or a fish or something. So Krishna's just reciprocating with human beings and, you know, the souls and the choices they make. He's not wanting them to go down, but if they want to go down, he has an arrangement for them. Okay. So I think we're done. Yes, thank you. Hare Krishna.